commentaries every Tuesday on the KABU Evening News in Portland, Oregon, and on a growing number of other radio stations. I welcome your feedback. You can subscribe to my weekly podcast via iTunes or at communityrightspdx.org. You can sign up for my community rights updates at paulcienfuegos.com. You can follow me on Twitter at cienfuegospaul. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are the people you've been waiting for.
You're listening to the KABU Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dominic Anaya, Les Hudson, Jenny Yokoyama, Tony Latigre, Robin Ryan, Will Lambeth, and Chris Andre. The producer is Kanan Schlesinger. Our engineer is Liam Delta. The KABU Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. Or look for us on Twitter at KABU News. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Jenna Yokoyama.
And I'm Kanan Schlesinger. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Paula Roland and hosting Talk Radio. At 9, it's host Delphine Crescenzo, and she's joined by the Queer Students of Color Conference Planning Committee to discuss the 6th annual conference that will take place on April 16th and 17th. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on the Radio Zone, we speak with journalist Ann Newman about her new book, The Good Death, An Exploration of Dying in America. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. This has been the Daily PM Newscast. I'm Kanan Schlesinger. Good night, Jenna.
Good night, Kanan.
We're here with Willie Levinson of the Human Access Project, founder of a whole bunch of projects around getting people involved with the Willamette River. Willie, tell us about what you have coming this spring. You got a lot of stuff going on. What's at the top of your agenda right now?
Well, top of the agenda right now is advocating to save the Kevin Duckworth dock, a dock that's a public dock that the city of Portland is giving serious consideration to basically giving away to Daimler Trucking, their North American headquarters.
All right. Why is that such an important thing?
Well, I mean, to us, that dock is extremely important. I mean, number one, there's an extreme deficit of water edge access opportunities in downtown Portland, and we view that as an equity issue. The Willamette River is owned by the citizens of Oregon. The Willamette River itself is Portland's largest public open space, and considering the size of our city, particularly compared to other West Coast cities, we have very little access to our waterfront. We should have more than just a handful of opportunities to get to the water's edge where the magic of a river happens. So ultimately, the people who have access to the water's edge right now are rich people who have houses and people who own boats. So if you're just an ordinary person who either, you know, lives in an apartment or whatever, unless you're living on the river, you do not really have great opportunity to experience the therapeutic value of our river.
Now, where is that dock currently located?
The Kevin Duckworth Memorial Dock is located really close to the steel bridge on the floating section of the Esplanade. And for people who, you know, who've had a chance to go down to the Esplanade, it's really the most special part of downtown's river, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, with the Willamette River advocacy that I've done now for the past 6 years, and it's been wonderful to kind of witness the transformation of how people feel about the Willamette, and there's lots of other folks doing work other than ourselves. But we're proud that we feel like we've kind of helped shape the how people feel maybe a little bit differently about the Willamette River. The Kevin Duckworth Dock was Kevin Duckworth died unexpectedly, and he is a beloved Trailblazer player, fun-loving guy. So the city made it a gesture to name the stock after Kevin because he really enjoyed fishing, and they saw that as a potential place to fish from. So,
although we do know that you can't fish from there right now.
Technically, you're not allowed to fish from the dock right now. The city of Portland built the dock 18 years ago with funds from the Oregon State Marine Board. And the Oregon State Marine Board, a stipulation of the grant was that it could only be used for motorized boating purposes. So initially, there was aspirations to have a water taxi at this spot. There was aspirations that larger boats would be able to overnight there or tie up for the day. But what happened was, first, the water taxi never materialized. Hopefully it will at some point. That would be super cool, but it hasn't happened at this point. And anybody who owns a larger boat, there's been, I mean, I've gotten to know a lot of people in the boating community, and basically the feedback from everyone is that it's not a good place to overnight, because based on the size of the boat and because there's not a jetty in front of the dock, if you were to overnight there, it would just smash the heck out of your boat because of the currents. And of course, people with larger boats don't tie up and leave it there because there's no security. So, I mean, if you owned a really big boat, would you tie it up and then walk 3/4 mile away from it and leave it unattended? Probably not. So by all accounts, this dock and its intended use over the last 18 years has been a complete failure, but yet it's probably the nicest facility in downtown Portland, and its current value of just the dock alone is $1 million. Yeah, I mean, I encourage people to go and check it out. I mean, the city is giving very serious consideration right now to giving away this $1 million dock. And, you know, the thing is, if this dock was to disappear, I mean, it's unlikely that we would get that dock replaced any time, you know, within the next 15 years. The replacement cost, now the dock alone is worth $1 million. The replacement cost is closer to $1 to $1.5 million, plus, you know, including the soft costs, hard costs, permitting. The permitting alone to put in a new dock takes 4 years. So it's really important to protect this asset. It's one of two ADA accessible areas on the east side in downtown Portland. And again, I mean, we need to be fighting for more opportunities to get to the water's edge and not look at losing another one. Now, this summer, the city is going to be facing an acute safety issue. Over the last 5 years, more and more people have been swimming in the Willamette River. And in particular, by the Hawthorne Bridge, a lot of listeners might have noticed the people who swim at the Wood Dock, which is south of the Hawthorne Bridge. It's become an extremely popular spot. Well, within the next 2 weeks, that dock will be gone for the entire summer of 2016. So here's the question. Where are these people going to go? Do you think they're going to stop swimming in the Willamette? My guess is they're going to invent and pioneer their own swimming spots. Most of these spots will probably not be unsafe. So here's the situation in Portland right now. The city is quite aware that swimming is occurring. The city is quite aware that most of these areas are unsafe, and they're actively doing nothing in the short term to address this. The Kevin Duckworth Dock is something that would immediately create a safe swimming spot in downtown Portland. If you have a chance to go buy it or just Google it on the internet, Kevin Duckworth Dock, or look at it on Google Maps and your satellite view is probably the best way to look for it. It has a U-shape. So the U-shape allows for protected swimming on the inside of the dock away from motorized boating. It's right off the esplanade, so you could put up a couple of bike racks on either side, and you would immediately, this is going to sound crazy, you would immediately create a world-class swimming area. I mean, it's really hard to believe, but it's true. If you look around the world, and this is something that I spend a certain amount of time doing, this is a world-class urban swimming area. It would not only be great for our residents, it would be a great tourist attraction, and in considering the cost of $1.5 million to replace it, for incrementally very little cost, basically putting ladders on, putting signage, it can be equivalent. You know, Portland Parks and Recreation does an excellent job of creating safe, fun, engaging opportunities for our citizens. Now, they do all sorts of things, ranging from extremely passive activities where people just sit on a lawn and play tiddlywinks, say, or a card game, or read a book, to more extreme things, such as managing swimming pools, skate parks, biking down mountains. They are accustomed to handling risk. What I will tell you is we can absolutely, out of question, engineer this place with very little cost that will be within the risk tolerance of the Portland Parks and Recreation portfolio. Now, we don't expect Portland Parks to make this decision on their own. We are actively working with PSU. There is a PhD student that has a background in studying urban swimming areas from around the world. We actually have that expert in our town. They're going to be conducting a swim study specifically on the spot to address the concerns that Parks Department rightly has to make this a proper safe area. It's going to be vetted by their professors, and we've lined up a panel of very strong landscape architects in our community so that the city can rely on its findings.
Willie, always when I listen to you talk about the river, I go back to the people who are worried about the fact that it's polluted, and how do you get in there without being near the polluted places? And the answer is very specific. Can you give the answer?
Google it. I would encourage you to Google it. Google it. Google Willamette River water quality, and you'll find that it's been vetted by federal, state, county, city, environmental watchdog groups. The science is out. So,
but there are, I want to say competitive swimmers. There are professional swimmers that every year do a major swim through all those areas, and none of these people have sprouted extra heads or reported any health problems, I'll say.
That's correct. The Portland Bridge Swim is an awesome event run by good friend Marisa Frieder. This is her sixth year doing the event. They swim 11 miles from Selwood to St. John's and get out at Cathedral Park. The water column, even in the Superfund site, is safe for swimming right now. But I'm not ever going to apologize for the Superfund site, and my hat's off to all the not-for-profits, Willamette Riverkeeper, Audubon, that have put a lot of energy into creating awareness of the cleanup that needs to happen there, because there is a lot of work that needs to be done to restore the full ecological health of the Willamette River. But today, we can celebrate that we can swim in it. I mean, for me, I just think back to Tom McCall. I mean, there was a time, DEQ is under a lot of scrutiny right now, and it's, as far as my personal opinion, it's not the fault of DEQ. It's the fault of politics in the past from the state capitol, where some Republicans took over without getting into naming any names, where my understanding is they just kind of came in and said, there's a new sheriff in town and gutted DEQ. So, I mean, DEQ can only do what they can with the resources they have. But that said, there was a time where there was no DEQ. I mean, it's hard to imagine that. Tom McCall came onto the scene. He saw the Willamette. It was at its worst possible condition, where the oxygen levels were so low that fish were literally suffocating through certain sections. And he looked at it and he said, you know what? I'm not giving up on this river. I'm not going to give up on this river. And, you know, I have to feel like if he was alive today and he could see that, wow, people, you know, I passed on and people kind of picked up my torch, and now there's a point where people can swim in downtown Portland. Man, that's awesome. I mean, he'd have to be so proud of that. And there still is more work to be done. But fundamentally, with Human Access Project, we believe that people take care of the things they love. I mean, if we're going to talk about the Superfund site, the very first thing we have to do is reconcile Portland's relationship with the Willamette River in a deep way, beyond appreciating it when you drive over a bridge.
Salmon run through it.
Right. So Crystal Springs, there's a really big story about salmon returning to Crystal Springs, I think was the park. Guess how they got there? They swam up the Willamette. I mean, so it's the Willamette is an amazing amenity to our city, and the wheels are in motion now. It's just a matter of time before our city's DNA is transformed. I mean, Portland thinks it knows how to have fun in the summertime. Portland has no idea what's about to happen to it, but that does not take away from the fact that the city is facing a safety problem this summer, and the time to act is now. And in the short term, the very first thing we can do is take a look at the Duckworth dock. Now, at this point, wheels appear to be in motion, that this thing is moving. And I would say that it seems like all parties involved are interested in finding a way to, at minimum, split this dock and make sure that we honor Kevin's legacy. City of Portland, I mean, you just can't go around naming things and not put a commitment behind that. I mean, once you say, hey, we are going to make a tribute to a person's life. One person said it very well in a Portland Mercury article. The quote was, you can't just dig up a grave and move it. I mean, I think this is an opportunity for the city of Portland to say, you know what? Okay. I mean, maybe they have their reasons for wanting to move the dock to Daimler. What I would say is, I'm not sure how we're going to get this thing to work, but I feel like there's some energy and interest in trying to preserve a section of this dock to create some access to the Willamette, to preserve the ADA access, honor Kevin Duckworth's legacy. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it would be great if Daimler had a dock at their facility. They have 11, there's 11,000 people that work at Swan Island. It would be great to give them an opportunity to get to the water's edge after work, during work, be able to afford a water taxi for them. On the one hand, I feel like Daimler has the resources to pay for this themselves, and I kind of ask myself, why don't they just buy their own dock? But on the other hand, I would say, you know what, if there's a way that everyone can be a winner in this situation, we can keep some dock behind, Daimler can get some dock, it would be great for the city, be, you know, great for all parties involved. So that's the direction we're looking to move towards. And you know, hey, it's the third quarter right now. I'm hoping to channel my own personal Lillard time with myself and the great team of volunteers that we have at the Human Access Project. And at the end of the day, I have no idea what the outcome of this is going to be, but I'm just going to be happy that I gave it everything I could. And, you know, we just keep moving this movement forward.
And so now I want to ask you, what activities does Human Access have this summer?
You know, there is a lot of work to be done to restore the ecological health of the Willamette. And just because the Superfund site is such a forward issue right now, I want to stress that people comment. I mean, we need to have a Willamette where you can eat fish anywhere out of the Willamette and not be afraid of it killing you. You know, that to me is the principal issue from my perspective, and it's something worth fighting for, because ultimately you have to draw a line in the sand somewhere. If we just give up and say, well, you can't eat fish out of our river anymore, resident fish. If you can't eat resident fish out of the river anymore, what's going to happen next? Do you just say, well, we're all walking around with gas masks. So, well, there used to be a time we used to be able to breathe clean air. I mean, at a certain point as humans, you have to draw a line in the sand and say enough's enough. On tap for Human Access Project this summer, we have, of course, the River Hugger Swim Team, our protest swim group, where we swim across the Willamette 3 days a week, and we're adding a bonus Thursday day after work this year. We swim across the Willamette and back underneath the Hawthorne Bridge, half mile up and back, quarter mile each direction. So we're going to have some special days where if you just want to be a person to knock it off your bucket list and you've swum across the Willamette River, because really, it's a rite of passage. How can you live in this town and not have swum across the river? So we're going to have some special days. We're going to just set it up for people to swim one way and walk back across. If you're